Our reading today is from John chapter 8, verses 31 through 36. Then Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The Son has a place there forever. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed." The word of God for the people of God.
Good morning. I have been excited about worshiping over here and meeting y'all for a couple months now. And so to finally be over here and get to experience the spirit that's in this place, to be able to greet some of y'all, to shake your hands, to ask your names multiple times, I'm excited to finally be over here. And there is sort of a Pentecostal spirit over here. There is a movement of the spirit. And just if it's not sort of captured by Brandon's red pants up here, man, that was awesome. I was like, man, that's the kind of church I want to be a part of. And you broke out the mandolin too, man. That was awesome. That was awesome. And so I'm excited to be able to share with you this morning and to let you know a little bit about me. But as we jump into the word together, will you bow your heads? Will you pray with me as we get started this morning? Almighty and precious God, Lord, may your word find root in our hearts today. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and uplifting to you, O God, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. How do some of y'all celebrate the 4th of July? What are some things that you guys do with your families or sort of in your communities, your neighborhoods? What are some things that y'all do? And I'm not rhetorically asking you the question. I'm actually asking you, what are some things that y'all do for the 4th of July? Fireworks?
Eat.
There we go. That's a good Methodist. I got you. What are some others?
Eat.
Yeah. Some more eating. I like it. Barbecue. What are some things that y'all eat?
Watermelon.
Barbecue. Ribs. What's that?
Steak.
All right, man, you eat well. I will like it here. It will do well here. What's that? Chicken? Chicken meal? All right. All right. I got to go up to my sister's house up in Madison yesterday, and I can tell you by the traffic on I-65, a lot of people were going somewhere yesterday to celebrate the 4th of July weekend. And luckily, Google Maps kind of got me around some of the accidents that were on 65 when we got up to Madison in about 2 hours. It didn't turn out to be too bad. But the way that we celebrated our 4th of July weekend was we went up into to Madison, and we had several different families come together. We had our family, my sister's side of the family. We had her husband's side of the family. We all got together. We played some games and things like that. And we celebrated the 4th of July. And I celebrate these type of holidays. I celebrate independence. I celebrate freedom. And I'm one of those veterans. I'm one of those members of the military that I truly believe that we memorialize what these days mean best when we celebrate them to the fullest, because we are celebrating what people have sacrificed so much for. And so when we celebrate these days to the fullest, it's the truest expression of what those days represent, that we celebrate our time together, we celebrate our families, we celebrate independence, that we can gather and we can have these moments to where we celebrate the history and the story of our nation and what has brought us to these moments as well. But it's interesting what happens when we celebrate. See, when I think of one word that might encapsulate our celebration of the 4th of July, I think of sticky. And you might understand that word if you have kids, because you think about the heat and the humidity of the day, you think about the suntan lotion, you think about the watermelon juice, you think about the cake, you think about the soda pop. By the end of the day, my kids were pretty sticky. They had celebrated well on the 4th of July. And it took me a good while before we got them clean enough to where we could put them back in the car for the journey home. And when we stopped at Target to pick up some stuff, because we're still living out of boxes, we've got to find some stuff. It took us a while to get the kids presentable enough to where we could go in and people didn't think that we were homeless. They were just so sticky. But the stickiness is really the story of how they celebrated that day. And it sort of had a little bit of everything from the time that they woke up to that point in time. The story of how fully they celebrated that day. Now, stickiness is an interesting thing when we think about our faith. Because when we think about our freedom, when we think about particularly our nation, what has brought us to this particular time, there's so much freedom that we celebrate. There's so much story that we can take heart in, that we enjoy of what has brought our nation to this point. But in reality, when we check our status updates, when we look at our Twitter feeds, when we watch the headline news on television, we really get more of a story, not so much of freedom and independence anymore, but of stickiness. That our country is stuck in a lot of ways. We are stuck in a lot of ways. And we celebrate freedom up to the point of where it's brought us so far, but where we're at now can sometimes feel very sticky. Even in the story of our nation, the freedom that we are beholden to no other nation in this world, we don't pay taxes to any other nation, we are independent to ourselves, and yet, even right now, if you were to look at the status updates and what happened in the last 24 to 48 hours, we're still embroiled in one of the most confusing and almost disappointing presidential campaigns we've ever had in our nation's history. We're kind of stuck still. And when we look at the scripture, it's almost in the sense of that verse that Jesus says, that we can be free, but be made free indeed. That there's parts of our story that we're free, but are we truly experiencing what it means to be free indeed? As Christians and as followers of Christ, we often feel stuck as well. We experience the grace, the forgiveness, and the mercy that God pours down upon us. But at the same time, each one of us is stuck in some areas of our lives. We still stay up at night and we worry. We're still stressed out and we're anxious. We're angry. We yell too much. We're frustrated and we don't know why. And we feel so stuck and so sticky. We have a taste of freedom. We have a taste of that kingdom of God that Jesus has told us about and has touched us with. but we're still stuck. And what we're stuck in is the sin that holds us in place to the world. Our scripture talks a little bit about that this morning. When Jesus was talking to the group of followers and the group of believers that had come from the Jewish community, and they're asking him about this new kingdom. They're asking him about what it means for the kingdom of God to be coming into their lives. And he begins to tell them about freedom. And he tells them that if they continue in his word, that they are truly his disciples, that they will know the truth, and the truth will make them free. Now, the community that Jesus was talking to is very similar to maybe the type of mindset in the community that we have today, that when they heard the word freedom, they immediately went to sort of their national origin. They immediately went to their citizenship, and they begin talking about the story and the history of their nation. They talk about how it started with their father Abraham, and how from the days of Abraham that they have not been enslaved by anybody, that they have been free, that they have been independent. And Jesus says, that's great, but that's not what I'm talking about. When I talk about real freedom. Because in reality, while you talk about your citizenship, while you talk about your independence, while you talk about your story to your father Abraham, you have been enslaved. You've been stuck. And you've been enslaved by sin. When Jesus said to them, very truly, I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household, but the son has a place there forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed. There's something more that Jesus is offering than some of us are experiencing yet. We feel so stuck. We feel so sticky. We feel like we're stuck in a place to where we can't get over the hump. That we hear that God brings freedom, that we feel that God brings forgiveness, and we've felt it, and we've had a touch of it, but we haven't experienced the power of it. We haven't experienced the depth and the breadth of what God has to give us. And Jesus says that we should be free indeed. Have we felt free? Have you felt delivered? Or do you feel like me, where you're stuck in certain attitudes, and certain addictions, and certain mindsets that keep us stuck in the same place and the same habits over and over and over again? And we try time and time again to solve our own problems with our own cleverness. We try to solve them with our own ideas, and we try to insist that we can just do better next time, when something else needs to break us free and to wash us clean again. And it comes with something so simple as repentance, as confession, as calling out in our own lives those things that make us sticky, the things that get us stuck, those sins that freeze us in the same place, that put us in these cycles and these cyclones of chaos, of anger, of depression, of frustration. And for us to reach a point where we say, enough is enough. And that if God promises freedom, then I want to be free indeed. And what better weekend than Independence Day weekend, to where we can start taking steps. We can start declaring in our lives that indeed we want to be free as well in our spirits. That we want to start calling out those areas and those situations in our lives that have gotten us stuck, that have gotten us mired down. And we begin taking steps to eliminate those, to ask for God to wash them clean again. For myself, something that I've realized over this weekend is how angry I get, how frustrated I get. Some of y'all might know over the last couple weeks, I've had some major frustrations into getting into the house that my wife and I now live into. We closed on the house this last Monday, but we were supposed to close on the house the Friday before that. And before that, we were supposed to close on the house on June the 10th. And it just seemed like there was problem and obstacle and people not doing their job and people not answering emails and people losing documents. And I kept getting so frustrated that everything was going wrong, that I didn't even have a place to live, to the point that I sent my family to go live up in Huntsville and up in Florence with my parents and my mother-in-law so that they had a place to stay while I could sleep in the guest room over at Sherry's house for the first week that I lived here, which is a great way to get to know your senior pastor, if any of y'all ever want to do that. But I was so frustrated and I was so angry that I had to deal with this stuff over and over and over again. And I got to tell you, God began to really convict me. And God began to really speak to me. And he said, stop turning a blessing into a burden. And how often is it in my life I take something that God has meant for good and I have somehow twisted it into me becoming the victim? Where I've got a brand new job and a brand new church and a great community that God has provided for me. I've got friends and family that are close enough that my family can go stay with. I've got so much stuff that I don't even know what to do with it, that I can spread it over 3 different cities. That's not a burden. That's a blessing. We start getting into these mindsets where we start insisting that we've got it hard and we've got it difficult, and we get stuck into thinking that we can figure it out and we've got to do it on our own. But the reality is God has a freedom and God has a way that is better than anything we can come up with on our own. And once we begin able to start breaking ourselves free from that, realizing that we're stuck in these cycles, God can really begin to do some amazing things with our lives. I forgot how much I yell when my kids are around because I was by myself for 2 weeks. Man, it was great. I'd stay up. I'd watch things on Netflix. I mean, I'd get to play Xbox as late as I wanted to. It was awesome. And then all of a sudden when I had to start being the dad again, I was like, man, I yell a lot. And I started realizing how much the frustration that I feel in my lives, I start projecting into other people as well. The negativity that we feel like on our own, we begin projecting into our relationships with others and into our relationships with God. And we start becoming dissatisfied. We start becoming distant and we start separating ourselves. And it's almost like we start declaring independence from the world and saying, y'all can go do your thing, I'm going to do mine. When the freedom that God begins to tell us about, what it means to be free indeed, is actually when our relationships start growing closer. And we start building tighter relationships with our families. We start listening to each other. We start spending time with each other. We start calling those people that our relationships have started breaking down, and we begin repairing them again. And we start getting into God's word, and we start deepening the relationship that truly gives us life and gives us freedom. And so on this Independence Day weekend, we have an opportunity to begin getting ourselves unstuck in our sin and getting us stuck into a new relationship with God. And it all starts with confession. It all starts with repentance. It starts with finding one area of our lives that we want to begin working on today, this weekend, and into this next week and through the summer, that we can begin projecting God's love and freedom into. Breaking some of the cycles that have got us bogged down to where we can truly experience what it means to be free and free indeed. We're going to share in a moment from the table of Holy Communion. And it is a table and a meal that has been around a lot longer than any of us. Even before, from the first moments of creation, as God created the heavens and the earth, as he spoke order out of chaos, he had an idea about how he wanted to be in relationship with us. And when he shaped us and he formed us, God held us in God's hands and he called us good. We were not stuck. We were not sticky. We were not bogged down. We were truly in the palm and the purpose of God. And let us take one step back towards that today. Because this is a table of God's grace and God's mercy and forgiveness. And let us, before we come today, let us take a moment to confess our sins. Let us take a moment to repent and to truly take a step towards the freedom that Christ gives us this morning. Will you bow your heads with me? We'll have a period of silence of maybe about 30 seconds or so, to where you have a period to reflect upon your own lives and your spirits, parts of your lives that you would like to call into question, that you would ask God's Spirit, that you would ask God's grace and mercy and forgiveness for, and God's strength to prepare you to be stronger through this next week. And then we'll pray a prayer of confession together. Will you bow your heads with me as we pray? Almighty God, we admit that we have fallen short. Lord, we admit that we are stuck in sins and situations and mindsets and attitudes, Lord, that draw us out of a deeper relationship with you, that break down relationships with others and leave us on our own, isolated. And so, Lord, we ask for those areas of our lives that need more attention. Lord, that need your mercy and your grace to soften them. Lord, to teach us compassion, to teach us grace. Lord, to remind us what it means to be free indeed. Lord, there are some addictions. Lord, there are some attitudes. There are some mindsets and situations that we have gotten stuck in, and it seems like we return to time and time again. And so we ask for your grace. Lord, we ask for your Spirit to help make us free, that we should be the citizens of your household, and we should know what it means to be free indeed. Forgive us our sins, we pray, O Lord, and set us free for a new life and a new purpose in your kingdom. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.